Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I am your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama, with us as well, and Charlie Grimes, our first guest this hour, Warren Rustand. Did I say that right, Warren?
That's good enough.
Rustand?
That's good. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate you joining us. Forbes book author of The Leader Within Us, Mindset, Principles, and Tools for Life by Design. And man, I wanted to have you on because I think there is a lot of individuals right now that are stuck in the 2020 fog and trying to figure out what's happening next.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that as well, John. I think that we have a situation where so many people were blindsided by this,
mm-hmm.
especially entrepreneurs, especially small to medium-sized businesses, families that are now quarantined in isolation, businesses that have been shut forever. I think it's a very difficult and challenging time. And so our ability to move from that sort of foggy thing that we've had in 2020 to focus on the current state and the future state is going to determine whether or not we can be successful in the years to come.
All right, so walk us through, if there's somebody out there listening that's not able to do that or they haven't done that yet, I shouldn't say not able to, maybe somebody just hasn't informed them and helped them through that process, where do they start? How do they get there?
Yeah, the first step is to create time and space to really think about it and begin to peel back the layers to be your authentic self, assess who you are, what you have, and then establish the outcome that you would like to have. In other words, clarity of vision. The road looks a little bit murky right now. Get that road as clear as possible, right? Blow away the obstructions and the distractions and focus on your long-term objectives. Where do you want to go with your life? And then take that time and space to create the milestones, work backwards from the outcome that you want, create the milestones you have to hit between now and then to achieve your vision. If you do that one small thing, mm-hmm. it creates clarity of vision, and that's critical to your future.
I coach businesses outside of the show, Warren, and I had those exact same conversation with a couple of clients today, really just setting those small, set the achievable goals, but on the same token, looking at the big picture, where are we headed, how are we going to get there, and if we don't write, in my opinion, we don't write those things out and set to achieve those goals, we never get there. It never happens.
Right.
I sure agree with you, John. I think all too many people keep it in their head, and they believe by keeping it in their head, somehow they're going to achieve it. I absolutely agree with you. You've got to write it down. You've got to look at it regularly. You have to refer to it on a regular basis. Absolutely.
Well, Warren, what I think a lot of people struggle with is that, they had goals for 2020. They had them set. They had them ready to go. And then 2020 hit. And so all those goals, all those plans, trips, personal goals, personal achievements, business plans, gone. And so now I think, to be honest, I think there's kind of a fear for people right now, they're sitting in this January 2021 and they're mm-hmm. like, do I set goals? Do I?
Yes.
Like, because what's going to happen? Like, what's going to happen?
It doesn't matter. We still set them.
Okay. So there's this. Okay. Good. Good to know. Because there's like this uneasiness.
No, and by the way, I agree with you.
I think that's what a lot of people are struggling with because they're like, because there's things that I want. There's things that I want for my small business, things that I want to achieve this year. But then you're like, there's that unknown factor.
But Warren, let me, I can say this because I've been self-employed since I was, 22. So since 1986, I've been self-employed. But I really meant what I said a minute ago, Warren. We have to do it no matter what because the reality is we never know what's happening next.
Right.
That's right. I think we have to stop worrying about the things we don't control and focus on the things we do control.
That's right.
What we control is our behavior, our reaction to circumstances. The other thing I think it's really important with the pandemic is to understand that it wasn't our fault,
mm-hmm.
to stop feeling guilty about this.
Exactly.
It came upon all of us unexpectedly. Therefore, let's go ahead and plan our life. Let's set our goals. Let's get after it. Let's focus on the current state and the future state, and let's just have a bad experience in 2020. Okay, we had it. But we had it back in 2008 and 9. We had it then, too. And we had it when the tech bubble was there. And we had it the real estate recession of the late 80s. That's just a part of life. We're going to have speed bumps. But we have the ability to overcome those things through good planning and perseverance.
You know, and Warren, I think also, and some of the things I'm trying to get my clients to do right now is even taking advantage of some of the things that are around us right now. And even in the down times, or in times like now, crisis times, there are those things you can still do to stay ahead of it and even get further ahead than if those crisis times weren't there. And I get figuring those things out is not easy, but if you can and do, you're ahead of everybody else.
Right.
I absolutely agree with you. In fact, what I would suggest is that every crisis creates opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And there will be those who take advantage of the crisis, right? I've identified 11 major trends that I see developing as a result of the pandemic. And if you can pick up on one of those trends and get on that wave, the opportunity then is yours to build something new and different, to create something, or to grow your existing business. I think there's huge opportunities out there. If you think back to the last crisis, 2008, 9, 10, think of the companies that were created during that period of time, Airbnb, Uber, mm-hmm. Lyft, Spotify, Shopify, all kinds of companies and opportunities came out of that. But that's why we have to concentrate on the future and not the past.
Hey, and Warren, you've been through some of this before just because of, you know, your past, being in the White House, serving in some of the things that you've done, some of the board of director positions you've been in and so on. I mean, you're not new to this either. So I feel like you've, you know, really got the right, how should I say, not just mindset, but experience to even back that mindset up. And you know, I'm not saying that because you're with us. I'd say that period because you do.
That's a really nice way of saying I'm a really old guy, John.
I didn't mean it that way.
I really appreciate it. But you're right. I think our life is a series of experiences. We learn from those experiences, whether they're good or bad. We take lessons away from them. That's really the only thing we carry into our future. Mm. We shouldn't dwell on the bad experience. Let's take what we've learned, apply it to our future, make sure we don't make the same mistakes again, be better prepared next time, and then we continue growing.
All right, so some of those trends, I mean, you speak my language, love talking to guys like you. I'd love to have you back in the future, by the way. This is right up my alley. I love this stuff, as you can tell. What are some of the trends? Give me a couple of trends that you do see coming that you think are going to change, and I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, some of them are obvious and some less obvious. The first is direct-to-consumer.
Mm-hmm.
What we found is there were about 25-30% of people who were ordering direct-to-consumer prior to, right, online ordering and so forth. That's now at 70%. That's huge. It's changing everything about the way we shop, the way we mix together,
mm-hmm.
the way we order things. So that's one. The second is that we're not going to sit in doctors' waiting rooms anymore with a bunch of sick people waiting for the doctor to see us.
Right.
Telemedicine is going to be, but telemedicine's been around in our business for 25 years, but it's really going to be used now for diagnostic purposes by the general practitioners. We'll still go to see specialists, but telemedicine's going to be big for both mental health and physical health.
Yeah,
online education. Online is another one.
Wow.
We're probably going to have 15 to 20% of kids who will never go back in the classroom.
Jeez.
They will now study from home. And we've got a bunch of teachers who don't want to go back in the classroom and who prefer or enjoy teaching online. So it's going to change everything.
Agree.
Right? Yeah. So major
Just real quick, along those lines, Warren, I said several years ago that I thought the whole school system needed a complete revamp anyways. We've got all this brick and mortar. We spend tons of money on property tax, on buildings, and you know, things really that I don't even think get used properly and really are almost archaic in some of what we're talking about, Warren. And you know, the one plus side out of COVID that I've seen is what you just said. I think this is an eye-opener for a lot of educators even that, hey, we can do school completely different. My only fear is, will they? That's my biggest fear is, will they make these changes to make education better?
Yeah, but I also think it's good for. Well, I was just gonna say, I also think it's good for kids to be around kids.
Like, no doubt.
So
no doubt, but you can do that and still educate the way they need educated without brick and mortar. By the way, homeschool kids do it all the time, so it's doable.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. There is a socialization process that children need to have. They just need to have, right? Interacting with adults and children. But we also know that we can be more efficient, effective, and less cost with our educational efforts.
True.
And we're not. We spend, in my opinion, Warren, as a country, far too much money in education for what we get back out of it.
So much waste on everything.
I agree with that. In fact, I think that we have some forces that don't want it to change.
Agree. Mm-hmm. Agree.
We're still in that agrarian model, right?
Yes.
3 months off in the summer, nine months of school, all that stuff. Okay. The next is this notion of geography is now history. In other words, we don't need to live near where we work
anymore.
That's true.
We can live wherever we want.
Agree.
We can live wherever we want. You know, one of our employees asked me about that, and I said, yeah, you can live wherever you want. You're an individual contributor to our business. That'd be great. She now lives on the beach in Bali.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
She's a great contributor to our business, right?
Nice.
So
nice.
It's just fantastic. I think we'll also see very high levels of supply chain disruption.
Yes, already have. Already seen it.
As a result of artificial intelligence
right.
and 3D manufacturing, right?
Yep. Agree. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
It may also be, another trend might be that the suburbs become our new villages because people won't need to commute into the city.
Already are. Again, these are things, at least in our area, Warren, in Colorado here, some of the areas that you know, even that I live in, what you're talking about is happening as we speak. As the wheels of motion are turning, it's happening.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. And then you'll have mass customization and mass personalization of
right.
products everywhere, right.
right?
It'll just be different. And by the way, you live in a great area. If we weren't living in Arizona, we would live in Colorado. We've got family
thank
in
you.
Littleton. We've got friends up in Evergreen. You live in a beautiful city.
Well, thank you. Warren, yeah. I got to take a break. I'd love to have you back. This is great stuff. I could talk to you literally for an hour. I love this. This is right up our alley, and we'll have you back.
I would love to come back, John, talk with you. Thank you very much for your questions.
You're today. Very welcome, sir. Take care. Have a great evening. Good stuff, by the way. He's right. A lot of everything he said,
yeah.
those are some of the trends you're going to already seeing coming.
Mm-hmm. And recognizing it and seizing it.
And by the way, that has nothing to do with politics. That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
And some of you can blame that on COVID, but I'm one that saw some of those trends happening even before all COVID did was accelerate some of that stuff.
Right.
They were already in the works.
Well, I mean... It's fascinating to me how many people are now are like working from home, and I don't know if they'll ever go.
Some may not.
You know,
depends
it might
on what
be
you
like
do.
The schedules will definitely change. It's not going to be a 9-to-5 every single day, 5 days a week. It's going to maybe it's a couple days here, a couple days there, work from home. I'm seeing that happen right now.
Which we combine. We'll come back and talk about this when you do that combined with a new learning for your kids.
Okay.
I got a
yeah.
thought for you. We'll come back and talk about that. Okay. Gina's
that.
Auto Service is next. Gina's with a J. And Steve Horvath and the guys out there, just great guys. They would love to help you out with everything you've got going on. And, you know, one of the things that hasn't changed is the automobile and your need for it. The automobile itself is changing. How it's maintained is changing. How you're fixing it is changing. But your need of it, frankly, hasn't changed since it really came out in masses in the early 1900s. So... Gino's can help you with all of your vehicle needs, transportation needs, even fleets. They do that as well. 303-794-6700 or go to ginosautoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
Start the new year right by taking advantage of Gino's Napa Legend and AAA Premium Battery Sale. Did you know car batteries typically last just 3 to 5 years? There is no reason to get stuck with a bad battery when you can stop in at Gino's for a free battery check. And while you're there, you can take advantage of Gino's free multi-point inspection. We'll evaluate your vehicle, looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Gino's is also having a sale on genuine Napa starters and alternators. We are big believers in catching problems before they start, which is why we do our best to make your life easier by offering loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Don't miss a beat this year. Gino's is continuing to service Larry's Automotive customers through Napa Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done before Larry's closed. Give us a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bulls and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit us online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
All right, speaking of transportation, and man, folks, things have changed since the Model T, since the Model A. I can go down the list of all the vehicles that we've been through in really the course of the last 100 or so years. And the reality is, yes, the vehicle is much different today than it ever was before. And by the way, I think in a positive way, they're more comfortable, they're more fun to drive, they're more convenient, they're safer. There's a lot of things that you get in a new vehicle that you don't have even in a vehicle that's 10 years of age. So if you want to know what some of those things are, some of the new technologies, go check it out at Purify Chevrolet. Chevrolet's got a full lineup of all those technological advancements in their vehicles, and they're just out there. So go check them out in Fort Lupton, Highway 52 and Highway 85. It's purifychevrolet.com.
You know, when I go into Purifoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purifoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purifoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience, and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And it is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for listening, by the way. We really do appreciate it. Rach and I were just talking about that a moment ago. A lot of you that are listening in the car, on the ride home and drive home, and we know you've had a long day, and sometimes it's exhausting, especially by the time you get to Thursday. We try to keep things, you know, on Thursdays a little lighter and funnier and all of that, but still get you the information you need. So back to school.
Back to school.
Okay. And what I was thinking of when we were just talking to Warren a minute ago is I do think there's going to be a shift, like he said, on the educational side. And I think some kids may not ever go back to full-time classroom. And if done correctly, if you really look at it, analyze it correctly, if done correctly, I think it gives families way more freedom than it ever did before. Because they also have been learning now through all of this COVID thing. And most of the parents out there that have kids doing online learning will tell you that they're getting their work done in about half the time they normally would have done in a classroom. Well, yeah, because there's just a lot less nonsense.
Right.
You know, the kids sitting in front of the computer doing whatever they need to do, getting their stuff done, getting things handled. Boom, done, handled. They don't have Joey next door bothering them, or they don't have this distraction or that distraction, all these other things going on. Yeah. So they're getting things done quicker and more efficiently, which gives mom and dad the opportunity to go do more things during school that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do.
Yeah. See, I kind of agree with that, but then I kind of don't, because I think that kids need, for I think they need to be interacting with other kids. They need to be in a classroom
and stuff
like that.
Well, you still can. And I should add that in, but because you still can.
Right. And my kids are, they have not stopped, which is, I'm just so thankful. They've been in school. They've been rolling along. But we did, when COVID hit back in March, we went to online learning, right? And as a mom running my own small business and then teaching them at the same time, I was kind of in a like, just get it done. Just get it done. And there's just get it done. And then there's learning. And I feel like a lot of these kids that are not in the classroom, it's like, just get the work done. Just get it done and get the assignment and get it graded. And so you don't have any missing work. And it's not like, let's learn about this. Let's just take the time and really dissect it and learn about it. And that's why I appreciate the school that my kids are at, because they are learning and they're surrounded by teachers that want to be teaching and they want to have that interaction. So there's a mix of it. But then there's part of me like, I can understand why it doesn't have to, you could probably go 3 days a week, you know? I mean, I could understand that. But
if you had, which they're setting up in certain parts of the country and even here, pods where your kids are still interacting with other kids periodically through either the day or the week or whatever it happens to be. I've said for years, I think the brick and mortar school and a school building that kids go to school in is so archaic, it's ridiculous. Why we still have a teacher sitting up front instructing kids in a classroom with all of the electronic learning we now have at our disposal and knowing how kids can learn. Why in the world we still do that, the archaic method, is one reason only, teachers' unions. That's it.
But the teachers don't even want to teach right now.
Well, and that may be their Achilles heel, because the reality is the teachers' unions, when they have brick and mortar, and they can point to different things, it's easier to extract money from you as a taxpayer with all of that.
Right.
It's a lot harder for them to raise your mill levy and collect more taxes if kids aren't in an actual physical building.
Right.
So believe me, they're going to push hard to keep them in those buildings, I believe, because they need the revenue to come in totally for the admin side of it. And let's face it, it's not the teacher that gets the money. It's all the admin side typically that get it. And there's a lot of maintenance that we spend, a lot of money we spend on maintenance on brick and mortar and buildings. And think about that. If you took every school district across the country and you took even half of their brick and mortar schools away and left the other half to do the essential in-classroom learning things you needed to do, which would be really hard to do online, but took half away and left half, think of the real estate that goes on the market in this country and the revenue that comes into school districts from selling off those assets. It's huge.
Right.
Huge.
Right.
The problem is they'll do all that and still keep extracting more income or more tax
revenue
from you and me.
Right. Oh yeah. They're not going to give you money
back.
No,
there's no discount
for
that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I think that the positive thing that's come out of this is the indoctrination, right? The indoctrination that takes place in our schools. I think parents are kind of a little bit more aware now of what is being taught.
Yes.
And, you know, so that is a huge positive where it's like, wait a minute, what are they saying? What are you learning? And so it's apparent.
Which you wouldn't have had before in a lot of cases.
No. So I think that's definitely a positive where it's like, wait a minute, there's a little bit.
To me, in the education thing, there are tons of positives. And I really think a lot of these teachers and teachers unions are really shooting themselves in the foot by not having their kids back in the classroom. My feeling is the longer they're out, I'm going to say it right now, the longer they're out, the better for us as conservatives.
Right. I don't think that they've thought through the long-term consequences of
this.
I think that they're in the moment and we really start to think, okay, we don't want to teach, we don't want to be in the classroom. And then people are like, well, then why are we in? What? Okay, then what's the point of even
like
having
I said,
you?
To me,
right.
this is a gift to conservatives. We talk about, okay, where's the silver lining in all of this? We lost an election, I get that. Okay, so great, where do we go from here? This is a great topic where right now I believe conservatives have a great tool in front of them to be able to use and go out and change education as we know it if we don't dink around with some of this other stuff we're always bloody messing with.
Because, to be honest, we are losing the battle for conservatism in our schools.
Yes, and we have an opportunity in front of us to change that.
Right, it starts
and
with
we're not.
The family and the school system. That's where the heart of it all comes back to that.
But how many conservatives outside of what you just heard from me are telling you what I just said?
None. No one said this until right now that I'm talking to you.
Why are we missing this boat?
I don't know. I've really had like a aha moment because I've watched just the complete chaos that's happened in Washington, D.C. I've watched the swamp. I've been involved in politics for years. And I'm like, how do we fix this? And then I'm starting to think, well, what can we fix? Like, there's a lot of people out there that are very frustrated. What can I fix? What can I do? Well, you can fix your home. You can fix the people that are under your roof. Mm-hmm. You can have real conversations with them. You can have real talks with them. You can fix that. Then you can go a little bit out further into your community, and you can definitely get involved in the schools.
Yes.
And so that's how we fix a lot of the mess that we're seeing right now.
And we have a grand opportunity as conservatives to do that right now.
Right.
But we're too busy dinking around with, no offense, voting machines.
Yeah.
Let's get busy and fix the schools right now, folks. Let's get that handled.
Yeah, get the schools
Let's go
fixed.
Back to the root of what got us here in the first place, and let's fix that.
Yeah.
That's my view.
I like it.
We'll come back, talk to Scott Garlis from Stansberry Research and find out what's going on with GameStop and all that. So we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Big news, by the way. Extreme Auto Repair is up next, and they want to help you with all of your vehicle needs, and they can take care of fleets or just your own personal vehicle. You name it, everything in between, it's all there. And I don't want to say it's a new way of doing auto repair, but in a way it is. It's a dealership alternative, 20-plus service bays, and they will take care of you anytime. KLZradio.com or 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair doesn't normally let their customers drive loaner vehicles to California, but they do keep their promises. It was right before Thanksgiving, and they had promised a customer he'd have his minivan back in time for his upcoming road trip. But they ran into an unexpected issue and had to order a new part, which wasn't going to arrive in time. He needed to get going, and they still had his car taken apart back in their service bays. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker had a quick discussion to figure out how they could still keep their promise. Fortunately, they happened to have a minivan available as a loaner vehicle at the time, so they decided to tell him to take it on his trip. They didn't charge him for mileage, and they made sure he was fully covered so he didn't need to worry. The team at Extreme Auto Repair will always do what they say. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial. We're going to talk about the stock market in just one moment. But in the meantime, if you need anything from Al, and by the way, a lot of this is Greek to me. So if you really need some help when it comes to your finances and how to move forward, talk to Al today. He'd love to help you. KLZradio.com is where you find him. Or call direct 303-744-1128.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a two-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Bruce Simmons, is that it, Charlie, is next, and he is our reverse mortgage specialist. Talk to Bruce today. If you're in the market for a reverse mortgage, he is your guy. He is our professor of reverse mortgages. KLZradio.com or 303-467-7821.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home, providing a source of guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in the house. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We'll get Scott Garlis dialed up here and on with us. Really inform us of what's happening. I've not followed it since we've been on air when it comes to GameStop and all the trading and different things. And it, big news. We talked about it in the first hour.
Yes.
Scott's going to help us out with this. But really, guys, this is what it boils down to, and we'll get Scott's opinion, but this is really what they did. Wall Street's trying to squash the little guy.
Yeah, totally.
Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Did.
Yes. Well, we talked about it earlier. Basically, what happened with GameStop mm-hmm. is the wealthy elite, you know, hedge funds and, you know, richos. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that's a word.
Oh, traders, but, the Wall Street traders and such.
They're like,
hedge
hey,
funds and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they tried to short the stock. So they mm-hmm. betted that GameStop was going to completely fail.
And it didn't.
And it didn't because the little guy came in and said, let's start buying up.
That's right.
GameStop.
All right, Scott, you
okay.
can tell what we're talking
yeah.
about already. We're waiting for you. You're on Stansberry Research. Talk to us about GameStop.
GameStop, okay. so, short sellers. How well, why don't I walk you basically through what short sellers do, just in case.
Please do.
So,
yes.
I mean, I understand it to an extent. I know Rachel does too, but there's a lot of people out there listening that probably have no idea. So, yes, walk us through it.
Okay, and how about this? Just to give you some sort of parameters around this. So, I worked on Wall Street for 22 years. My clients were 90% hedge funds.
Okay.
I covered
okay.
some of the biggest hedge funds in the world.
Okay.
I am very familiar with this. What guys do is they look for companies where they see a business model is either broken and going to zero,
mm-hmm.
or they look for a sector that's in secular decline.
Right.
And they're betting revenues are going to go down, earnings are going to go down.
By the way, real quick for everybody listening, not that I would tell you to go out and watch it right now, but there's a great program. I don't know where it's at in its season, Scott, but the program Billions.
Oh,
that's basically
that
what
yeah.
they're. That's basically what yeah. Axelrod does in that whole series, correct?
Yes, yes. And so what? But they don't just short stock. They buy good companies.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah, he's
sure.
all over the place, right?
And that whole series is based on. It's supposedly based on Steve Cohen. Used to be SAC. It's now called Point72. They run about $13 billion.
Wow.
They're one of the bigger hedge funds out there, and they employ some brilliant people, very smart people that do some very thorough research.
Okay.
So they go out and they, you know, shorts find companies.
So they find a company that they think is going to tank.
Right.
Let's say it that way.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. So basically, you look at a company like GameStop. It's video games and used video games, and that whole business is moving to online.
Right.
People are doing all of that on demand, right?
Right.
And they're doing their Amazon Web Hosting Services is providing all the cloud space and storage. So guys like that are looking at that business, and they're seeing the retail footprint they have all over the country. They have thousands and thousands. I want to say at one point it was like 5,500 stores.
Yeah, they had a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of expenses. And when all those stores stop doing business and you're paying all that rent and you have to make all that money somehow and you're not selling anything, you have a problem. Your business is going to start imploding.
Right.
You have high costs, low dollars coming in the door. That sounds like a business model that's in trouble.
And by the way, it is.
It is in trouble, right.
Yeah, I don't think that's an assumption. They had 4,816 stores.
Jeez.
Right, and they're not, look, these guys aren't just trying to, there are some that will pick on companies and make up stories. Those are bad actors. Those are bad players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in a situation like this where they see a business model that's falling apart, they're going to go after it. And in some cases, you have companies that are out there lying to people. They are saying they're doing, like retailers, they're doing more sales than they are.
Mm-hmm. And they cook the books.
And they pour through the books. They have CPAs and forensic accountants that look at these books. They pick their balance sheet apart, and they find out, and they realize it, and they start shorting the stock.
Mm-hmm.
The story comes out. And then there are
okay,
other
so talk to us about how a stock being shorted works, Scott.
So what you do, if you're shorting a stock, you have to borrow that stock from a broker-dealer. A retail investor, for instance, might own it, but they elect to let their broker-dealer lend it out. So that short seller has to pay to borrow that stock. They have to pay basically an interest payment as they borrow it, right? And by holding on to that stock they borrowed, they then have something they can sell.
And by the way, explain where they borrow it from.
From a broker dealer, from say a Merrill.
In other words, somebody that owns stock, right?
Right.
Yes. A retail guy tells their broker dealer where they're housing the shares they own. You can lend my stock out for shorting. So the broker dealer has a whole business based on just lending stock, and they're collecting interest off of lending the stock out. So
they're a winner no matter what, right?
That's correct. So
okay.
When the short seller is selling the stock, he has stock he can deliver because that new buyer has to accept shares somewhere, right?
Right.
So you basically, you've sold shares you don't own technically.
Jeez.
And then as the stock goes down, you're hoping what happens is that you're going to buy that stock back lower. The problem in this instance was that there were guys who shorted the stock and they were up big and they kind of fell asleep at the wheel and they forgot about it.
Okay.
And they just rode those shorts out, which means they just sat on their short because they were making a lot of money. So what happened was there was a very smart group of people in this Reddit chat room, was it Wall Street Bets? They figured this out, and they went and looked, and they saw that there's something called days to cover. So a stock basically has an average daily trading volume. Let's say it's 500,000 shares is a normal average daily trading volume.
Okay.
And let's say there are 15 million shares short. So that means it's roughly going to take you around, what would that be, 2 by 15, 30 days to cover that stock.
Okay.
So these guys went and that... So
there were some good mathematicians that this is not insider stuff. There was just some good guys at math that were looking at all these figures, knowing what was happening.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly right. And so what happens is when these guys decide it's time to get out of a stock, if it's becoming painful, which means they're starting to lose money or their profits start disappearing.
Right.
What happens is this is like it's sort of technical jargon, but it makes sense. They say they're going to take it to a place where it's going to trade. That means they don't have a pain threshold. They're going to keep buying it back until they wipe out their loss, until they get out of their short.
Okay.
And so you're seeing volumes in these stocks explode because these guys can't take the pain anymore and they want out.
Oh.
And so these retail buyers that figured this strategy out, it was really smart on their part.
Yeah.
And they got all these other guys in to go along with them.
Okay, and real quick, and we talk other guys. Are we talking 100, 1,000, 10,000, a million? What are we talking?
Oh, I mean, I want to say multiple thousands,
okay.
if not tens of thousands. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people. I looked at some of these posts on this one Reddit chat, this Wall Street Bets, and you know, there were guys putting up posts in there about how they were paying off their college loans
wow.
because of the money they were making on these trades.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But yeah, I'd heard, Scott, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe if you bought GameStop when it was 20 and you sold at its high, if you bought $10,000 worth, it'd be worth over $2 million. Is that correct?
I can't do the math, but let's say...
Because it went up to $400-some a share from 20 to 4-something.
$4.99 this morning, right?
Yeah.
And you're saying 20. So
if you got in at $20 a share and it went to $4.99 and you spent $10,000, what would you have when it's done?
You would have, let's see, $239,500.
Okay, $239,000. Sorry, not $2 million, $239,000. Still, a lot of chunk, yeah. a lot of change for $10,000 investment.
Yeah, I would say. But yeah, so I mean, that's basically what happened. And then, so what you saw yesterday.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, let's finish the story. So this thing's rolling along.
Right.
All this is happening. The stock continues yep. to rise. And then what? Yep.
And then, okay, so what you get yesterday, like the market sold off as a lot of this is happening, right?
Right.
What's going on here is, so when you're shorting a stock and when you're hedging something, and this is what the hedge fund industry does, when you're hedging something, that means you're hedged on the other side of the bet. You have, so if you're short a stock, you are long a stock against that. And your hope is, in an ideal situation, your short goes down and your long goes up because you're making the spread. As that spread widens, you're making more and more money. You know, but what invariably tends to happen is, like, your short goes way down and your long is steady to maybe down a little bit, but you're still making so much money as that gap widens. You know, things work out well. Now, the flip side of this is, because these guys were losing so much money in GameStop, they decided to start taking off the risk exposure. A typical hedge fund, at least it used to be, a lot of the guys I dealt with they employ a lot of leverage to make big returns. And so typical leverage on a book would be like 3 to 5 times. So that means if you traded, you had $100 million of assets under management, you were trading it to the point where it was more like $300 to $500 million. Okay, so you've got a lot of leverage. So that means that for every dollar of investment you have, you really only have, say, 20 to 33 cents of that covered, you know, in your hands. The rest of that's on margin. So that makes a painful, an unwind like this, it can get really painful really fast because you start losing all that margin.
Okay, right. So dumb question.
So what's going to happen?
Yeah, dumb question. Given everything you just said, why was it fair for them to basically shut down some of the trading tools being used to make all of it? To me, that just sounds unfair.
Yeah.
They did. It does, but they did not shut down the trading tools. The problem is that, so all these people that got very involved, they've started using all these trading apps like Robinhood.
Robinhood was one, yes.
So Robinhood, after the market today, drew down some of its credit lines. And so a lot of broker-dealers, so Robinhood, if what they do is they farm out their business to a broker-dealer, and there's something called counterparty risk. And so as they're farming all this business out, right, everybody's coming in the door and they want to buy, and some of these retail guys might be on margin, and the stock price keeps going up, the counterparty risk starts going up. Because think about the dollar volume that it starts as the price goes from $20 to $499. The dollar volume of each transaction of just one share has increased immensely. So it gets to the point where, you know, the guys you're dealing with are just like, hey, I can't take these orders anymore. I can't deal with this counterparty risk. You have a lot of my money tied up. Because another thing that people don't understand is, when you buy a stock, it settles in trade date plus 3. That means it settles 3 days after the trade date.
So in other words, this Robinhood, the app, they had to make all of those transactions and coverages and so on out of their own bank account, if you would. That's why things stopped, was because they didn't have enough funding to cover everything. Am I hearing that correctly?
I can't say that 100% with 100% certainty, but I would be shocked if that's not what happened.
Well, okay. Now I'm reading tweets from verified accounts that they were pressured from the White House. I don't know if this is true, but this is.
I highly doubt that.
I'm reading.
It's just.
And they want to be. They're subpoenaing. Look, they're going to subpoena some of these people.
I'm sure it's.
It looks bad, doesn't it, Scott?
It does look bad.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Right.
It does. And so what's interesting about all this, John, so one last thing I want to explain to you. Like yesterday, which you have, so on the other side of the short, you have a long. So like maybe you bought Microsoft and you shorted GameStop. Well, when you unwind that short trade, you have to sit, you don't have to, but invariably what happens is you get out of that long trade. And what also happens is you have to sell other, if you're losing in that trade, you have to sell other profitable trades because you have to make money to cover up for those losses to give back to your prime broker. So when you saw that 3% sell-off in the market yesterday, I would guarantee you a lot of that was other bets being unwound. Guess, what you just saw, you saw a lot of these hedge funds that had exposure, they monetized their losses and they wiped them out. And so it didn't matter what you heard. You know, you had great numbers from Microsoft yesterday, and the stock market didn't care. Microsoft went up, but most of the stock market went down because these people, they were wiping out their trades, monetizing their losses, and they were taking down their risk. And what they were doing was like, okay, this situation has gotten a bit out of control. Let's step away. Let's get rid of our risk. Let's let the dust settle.
Right.
And then we'll go back to doing our jobs.
My son, by the way, commented, and he says he thinks they were told to shut down by their investors. True or false, Scott?
That
Robinhood
was told it. I think it was probably counterparty risk. It's possible their investors could have, but I would think.
And that'll be their argument.
It probably would be.
That will be their argument, what Scott's saying.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it just, when I see something like after the bell tonight, they went, after the bell means after the stock market closed, that they went and drew down their credit lines. That tells me they needed more capital, and there's a reason why they couldn't do trades was because they didn't have the capital to extend to facilitate all these trades so that, you know, whoever they're dealing with on the other side would carry these trades for multiple days until settlement and the money came in the door. And, you know, it's a sort of the nitpicky stuff that people forget about, right? But it is important, you know, and I know people that complain that they were trying to buy a stock and then sell it a couple hours later in the last couple of days. And they're like, why can't I do this? And I was trying to explain it. I'm like, look, technically the way this stuff works is it doesn't settle until 3 days after the trade is made. So it's called T plus three.
Okay.
It takes time. And, you know, when somebody's getting jammed, these apps are getting jammed for money, and they're going to be big time sticklers for rules when they're worried about the dollars going out the door.
Makes sense. Scott, this is great. No, great explanation. Okay, so, and I know I'm tight on time. In 1 minute or less, what are the alternatives to using those apps then?
Going through a real broker dealer, signing up with, you know, a Merrill Lynch or a Wells Fargo, and you know, they all have risk controls in place. But I do want to say one other quick thing to, you know, think about. I mean, so the things we've been talking about, John, about all these dollars that are being printed and this inflation it's creating, this is an event where we have been talking about, you know, how do you protect yourself? Because you're seeing people that are just in cash, you know, they're seeing their value being destroyed, and that cash as dollars become more plentiful, become worth less. They're trying to get involved in the stock market. And I think you could see more events like this.
I agree. Let's talk about that next week. This is a great segue. Scott, I appreciate your time. How do folks find you?
Please come check out StansberryInvestor.com. You can sign up for all of our free stuff. Check out our paid stuff. We're there to help the little guy.
Perfect. Awesome. Scott, you're the man. Thanks, sir. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take care. Appreciate it. Flesh and Beck is up next, folks. Anything you need, legally speaking, Kevin is your guy. Not afraid to go to court. Trial tested, trial ready. That is Kevin Flesh, 303-806-8886.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. KLZ's personal injury attorney continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886.
All right, Novus Auto Glass, where you can see clearly, get that crack fixed, the chip fixed, or the windshield replaced, or anything else glass-wise on your car, or truck, or SUV, or your implements, or your whatever, you name it, your semi, they can do it all. It really doesn't matter. Novus has a solution for all the vehicles on the road today. They work with all insurance companies. Find them at rushtoreason.com/Novus, and it's Novus, N-O-V-U-S.
Take control of the process with Novus Auto Glass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Auto Glass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Auto Glass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass now at rushtoreason.com.
Franktown Firearms, folks, where, yes, they have ammo in stock right now. It is about a four-day wait to buy a gun, but, hey, check it out. Give them a call. They can inform you of all of that before you go see them and take care of any of your needs of firearm speaking. KLZradio.com or 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store, and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with the full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Hey, if you're not feeling well or want to lose weight, or just want to know, hey, what's going on to make me feel, you know, less down, less depressed. You know, you could have an imbalance someplace, and Dr. Julie can help you with all of that. And I mean that sincerely. Go see Ascent Health Center today. It's ascenthealthcenter.com or call her at 303-343-8800.
Dr. Julie provides both the scientific methodology and the empathetic accountability you need to lose weight. You've lost the weight in the past, but as soon as you started slipping back into your old habits, you felt like a failure. Now you've gained all of that weight back, plus some more, and starting over seems pointless. Both John Rush and Dr. Julie understand the daily struggle of staying healthy. The HCG diet at Ascent Health Center trains your body to convert unnecessary fat into energy, but you also need the mental and emotional fortitude to help you stick with it long term. Something as simple as a daily text message from a qualified weight loss guide could make all the difference between another yo-yo diet and a true lifestyle change. Remember how much better you felt without the extra weight. Call Ascent Health Center now and mention Rush to Reason for 30% off your HCG diet plan. 303-343-8800.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
All right, and that does it for us today.
Wow.
Rachel, thanks. It's a joy having you.
Yeah, it's been fun.
We'll have you next week. Don't forget tomorrow, Andy will be here, and it will be chick flicks for the movie. So if you got any, send them in. We'll get them off to Andy. I will be off tomorrow. I've got some family things I need to take care of. But I will see you Monday or Saturday, I should say, for Fix It Radio. So everybody enjoy. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.